we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a headline from the Bedfordshire on Sunday, read by Cathy Clugston.
OAP caught shampooing his genitals on a bus claims he's no hardened criminal.
And our thanks to George Davies for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Katie Brand. And opposite them on my left, Miles Jupp and Bob Mills. Jeremy, who's seeing their jobs sail off into the sunset?
Well, hundreds of people all over the country, including Scotland and Bristol, but principally Portsmouth. And obviously there's a great history of ships, but there's no point in naval history gazing, obviously. Don't need as many warships because we're not having as many wars, which is good. It's just sad that people are losing their jobs. I mean, the Navy's very keen to point out that ships, you know, were useful, you know, that we needed somewhere to launch aircraft from during the attack on Libya. And admirals are saying, well, it's just as well that Italy was there. And I thought, well, yeah, Italy is always there. It wasn't just floating past at an opportune moment. The fact is, we don't really need as many ships as we used to, and we could import them. People say, well, we need a secure manufacturing base for ships here. And you say, well, you could import them. Well, can't import them. How would we get them here? You know, and presumably the arms industry would like us to have more wars. It's probably one of the reasons we've had so many is because of the arms industry. Without regular wars, they'd have to have car boot sales just to shift it all.
We'll have to buy our warships off the shelf, won't we? IKEA warships. That's the... You'll be one turret left over thinking, where does that go?
What's happened now is because Portsmouth has borne the brunt of it and Clydeside has got off relatively lightly by comparison, the accusation is being made that this is all to win the Scots over to staying in the Union. Because if they go independent, then Portsmouth gets the jobs back, basically. Which means that the best thing that Portsmouth ship workers could do at the moment is move to Scotland temporarily and then vote for independence and then move back again.
I enjoyed the Sunday Telegraph's coverage of this because they
said... It's not words you often hear.
No, I know. But there was one little bit that just struck me. It said, things had got so bad that the defence giant was trying to reduce its footprint. Idea that there was a defence giant.
In Celtic mythology, the defence giant fought the jolly green giant. And that's where the giant's causeway comes from.
It's very difficult, isn't it? Because, the ideal, obviously, is that all shipyards could be kept open. But then that involves, you know, there being a market for all these ships. It's, you know, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but in terms of just personally, and I haven't bought an advance warship for...
Months.
Must be months now, yeah. Really. I mean, you know, well, we've all had to tighten our belts, haven't we?
I don't know if you know this, but I am I'm Chancellor at Portsmouth University, and owing to some misunderstanding, Obama has been listening in on my phone calls, which is... to shut the last shipbuilding yards in Portsmouth with the loss of 940 jobs whilst keeping open the Scotstown and Govan yards in Glasgow. There are accusations that the Scottish shipyards are being kept open to prevent a yes vote in the Scottish referendum, but the government denies it would ever be that cynical, manipulative, conniving, backstabbing and unfair, and I, for one, believe them. There will still be jobs in Portsmouth at the ship maintenance yards, where shipwrights will lovingly grind off the Made in Scotland stamp. 2 points to Jeremy. Miles, who's had to diplomatically explain his nesting instinct?
Well, basically, on the top of the British Embassy in Berlin, they have, British spies have been building a nest. They have a, spies have, we don't all know this, but spies have a nesting instinct. And basically, they collect small bits of paper from dead letter drops and weave them together to make a nest.
You never see that in a James Bond film. You never see Daniel Craig collecting little bits of twig and fluff in his mouth.
He does. He has bits of Judy Dench's hair in it. Have you not ever seen that?
Yeah, yeah. That's why she's been killed off. She's been used up, all her hair.
I mean, they weren't even trying to hide it. It was like a big white tent.
Well, this is
on
what
top of the roof.
Me.
I mean, it could have, for all we know, been an amateur baking program going on.
Apparently it's come from Edward Snowden. And so the Germans have said, apparently we've heard that's not a hot tub on your roof, and you're spying on us. Well, I'm sorry, but I know we live in a new Europe, and I know we're all one united people now, blah, but you Germans, we're going to keep a little eye on what you're up to.
I quite liked that the British ambassador had to go over and talk to the German foreign ministry, and they were very keen to say that he was invited and not summoned. Yes. This is very important. But presumably, if the place was bugged, they didn't even need to bother to send a letter. I mean, presumably...
I've got friends who are spies, and I don't...
Have you?
Yes, and I don't know if it's a testament to how good they are at covering their tracks, but I know who all my friends who are spies are.
They tell you they're spies. They just don't want you to know that they're accountants. You say... Is it you do again? Oh, I can't really talk about it. It's very secret work for the government.
I think I've mentioned this before, but when I was a student at Cambridge, MI5 tried to recruit me. Yeah, no, not my language skills. I could easily fit in a suitcase, I think.
There's a lot of double bluffing goes on. You've told us they approached you, Sam. You've not told us what you said to them. What was your...
I'm a sleeper.
Yeah. Because I don't know if any regular listeners to this programme, it always confuses me, that thing you do when you suddenly go, and at the end of that round, the daffodils are blooming in Bucharest.
After allegations of a spy nest on the top of Britain's embassy, the ambassador to Berlin, Simon MacDonald, was called in to the German Foreign Ministry to offer an explanation. This is the first time Germany has called in a British ambassador in this way since the Second World War. Although, to be fair, we definitely were spying on them back then and they were definitely up to something. The UK appears to be part of an English-speaking spy network along with the US, Canada, Australia and New Zealand, nicknamed Five Eyes, which is also the nickname for somebody wearing both a pair of glasses and a monocle. The German government are keen to reach a no-spy agreement with Great Britain. No spy is like I spy, but much quicker. 2 points to Miles. Bob, who's judged that it's time to draw a veil over a divisive issue?
Oh, is this Ken? Is this Ken Clark?
We love Ken.
Listen, I do. I'm a big fan of Ken Clark. I think he's a decent man. I think he's a human man. But every now and again, you just think, all right, Ken, shush now. Don't say anything. He had a perfectly reasonable point that he was called upon to make, and that is that the niqab, the veil that Muslim women wear over their face, there are certain places where that's not really... suitable. And one of these places is a court of law, because if you're in court of law as a witness or anything, the way that the legal system works in this country is that the jury must have the right to make to pass judgment on what you're saying and whether they believe you or anything. And you can't do this unless you can see somebody fully. And that's a perfectly reasonable statement. And if it had just stopped there... Because, as he says, it's not fair for the prosecution or the defence if one of the people who's giving evidence is wearing, I don't know, some kind of bag on their head.
I love that. He said the full veil was like a kind of bag. I want him to describe more clothing. Trousers, they're like kind of leg sacks with holes. Gloves, like putting your hands into woolly spiders.
I'm glad that they stopped the interview and stopped him before he says, and as for that other thing, that whole big ninja thing, no.
People aren't doing this a lot. Aren't there more important things we should worry about that people are wearing? Like red trousers, like pink trousers, like mustard cords, like tan brogues with jeans. Are these not the sort of things we should be addressing?
That is the anguished cry of a man brought up in Hampshire, though, isn't it?
Trying to come up with instances when you shouldn't wear a niqab, and court of law is about the only one that they can really think of where it would actually be of any significance. People say, what if someone wearing a veil went into a bank? Well, what? It's not going to worry you unless they've got a shotgun, is it? And if they have got a shotgun, you're not going to say, oh, my God, she's got a veil! Quick! You can't see her teeth! Everybody on the ground! What about when people wear sunglasses?
What
and
about
you can't see, well, you can't see their eyes, and the eyes are the windows of the soul.
It's really rare to wear sunglasses in court while giving evidence.
Not necessarily. I bet Ray Charles wore sunglasses in court.
What was he charged with? Reckless
drug
driving?
Drug possession. He was charged with drug possession, and he went to court, and he probably wore his sunglasses.
Do you know, I don't know if this is true or not, but I do love this story. It is said that Stevie Wonder had a very large estate and was taught to drive the 3 miles from the gate, the main gate entrance, right up to the house, and used to terrify guests by appearing at the gate in his car going, get in, I'll take you up to the house. it's true. I don't know. It's a wonderful story. Lord Thomas, the Lord Chief Justice of England and Wales, is to issue guidance about whether Muslim women are allowed to wear veils in court. Kenneth Clark has waded into the debate, saying he thought it was a most peculiar costume for someone to adopt in the 21st century, before being shown a Miley Cyrus video and rapidly changing his mind. Women in this country can, of course, dress in any way they choose, as Theresa May and I demonstrate at different ends of the spectrum. But at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Katie have got 4 points, but so too have Miles and Bob. Before we start round two, here is a description from the Sky TV Guide.
11 p.m, Booze Patrol Australia, action-packed reality series with the police force in New South Wales. The evening becomes confusing when officers arrest two men with the same first name.
Thanks to Andrew Beckett for sending us that. Miles, who wants to take baby steps in education reform?
This is one of the Ofsted people. I think the...
Lady Morgan.
Lady Morgan, probably one of my favourite of the main ladies. Lady Morgan, she thinks that children should start school not at the age of four, but at the age of two, which leads me to think that she's probably got young children herself. And has suddenly thought, well, if I can't use my powers for good, at least I could use them for childcare. It's a sensible thing. Children are starting school at the age of four, and some people haven't done any time in nursery up to that point, and maybe at home haven't been picking up any sort of literacy or numeracy skills. So her feeling is, well, perhaps people should start school even earlier, and then by the time that they are the age that they should be going to school, then they have done a bit of school already. Other people think, no, that is why you go to school. You go to school to start the learning things. I mean, it's a bit like saying, well, look, if we have a meeting at 5 o'clock, I mean, why don't we have the meeting at 4 o'clock? And then by 5 o'clock, we'll already have had a meeting. There's an element of that sort of maths. But Rowan Williams, who I always admired sort of follically, has...
He had one of those heads. If you turned it upside down, he'd look the same.
He's part of a group called Save Our Childhood. Yeah. I think for him, perhaps it's a vain dream. That's that ship has sailed, Rowan. But they think that people shouldn't start school until they're seven, which suggests that he doesn't have...
Children in Scandinavia do not start school until they are seven. I think before that, they're not tall enough to get through the snowdrifts, I think.
You can have nursery, can't you? You have nursery before seven, don't you? Kids just don't stay at home watching CBeebies having their brains turned to mush by failed actors in lurid waistcoats.
I think you've got a slightly skewed view of how talented some of the people who appear on CBeebies are, Jeremy. Some of them probably have slightly more diverse property portfolios than yourself as a result. I make that point purely objectively.
But if children are going to start school at two, are there going to be exams for two-year-olds? What are we going to start a trend for wipe-clean exam papers?
You can turn over your fuzzy folk farm set now.
I really like the idea of educational creches in schools. I think that's a stroke of brilliance.
What? But what kind of questions are you going to ask the children? What a maths question. If I give you three chocolate buttons, two-year-old maths question, okay? I give you three chocolate buttons, I then give you another five chocolate buttons, why are you still lying on the floor crying? Yeah, you are. The only question you want a child to be able to answer is, where are Mummy's car keys? That's it. That's the only...
They're talking about people from disadvantaged background, or as we used to call it in the old days, working-class backgrounds. Right? By the time they get to school at five, they're behind other kids when they get to school at five. To me, the answer is slightly more simple than that. From a certain background, when you have a kid, you should go to school.
Yeah.
Well, leave the kid at home, the kid's fine. Basically, as long as they're in one of them big square things and there's a TV somewhere, then they'll be fine.
You can get those crates at Pets at Home.
Yeah, and then you go to school. And then when you come back, then you can pass on this information to your kids so that when your kid's five, it'll go to school and it won't be behind all the other kids.
Yeah, but the advantage of sending a two-year-old as opposed to an adult is once they've eaten all that glue, dried pasta and glitter, they won't want any tea. At least they'll have eaten well. My children are all grown up. I still read to them.
Do you?
Every month, sit down. Who called Australia for an hour? Who voted on X Factor 16 times? Lady Morgan, the chair of Ofsted, has suggested that children should be allowed to attend school from the age of two in order to counteract youngsters from poorer backgrounds falling behind. The idea is that teachers can spend more time with the children of low earners. Low earners like teachers. Lady Morgan described the suggestion as big, bold and brave, while the Preschool Learning Alliance described it as beyond belief, with neither appearing to have access to the alphabet beyond the letter B. Supporters of the plan welcomed it as a bold move, while critics had a screaming fit and refused to put their shoes on. 2 points to Miles. Katie, who's hoping that millions will flock to his survey?
The Pope. Mm. I don't think I'm alone in this, but I've got a bit of a crush on the new Pope. And I think he's quite an alpha man, the new Pope, isn't he? He's kind of...
Don't look at me, I really would not be... Would not be the one to back you up on this, OK?
No, I am. I
like the frocks, that's all I'm...
Well, I mean, as I did a theology degree, I did it very badly, but I still turned up most of the time. And I was a Christian when I was a teenager as well. I was a mad fundamentalist Christian for a period of time. And nothing will stop that like a theology degree. my parents were very relieved. But the new Pope, Pope Francis, is doing some quite incredible things. They've sent a survey out to all the bishops, and then the bishops are then tasked with getting information from their congregations about contraception, about divorce, about remarrying people in churches who have been divorced and so on. And the Pope is, again, reportedly making great strides in perhaps making a woman a cardinal as well. So it's really quite thrilling what he's doing. And
I have to say, it is very nice to see a more progressive Pope. It always felt, felt rather odd being told I shouldn't be in a same-sex relationship by a gang of old men in shiny dresses. It's just... This thing about the woman, I mean, that's incredible. Professor Linda Hogan, they're suggesting is...
She is one of the top candidates. It's a bit slippery because apparently you don't have to be ordained to be a cardinal in Roman Catholicism.
They're not clergy at all, cardinals.
No, they don't have to be.
They're just bouncers.
Yes. You know, women have always had a place in the church originally, and it was only a few hundred years later that women were eradicated from the church, and these kind of rules came in about how women were not allowed to hold a central position in preaching and so on. So it's good to get back to basics.
I don't know, though, a woman lording it over everybody in an institution as old as modern civilization. It's oh, wait a minute. That's a letter, an old letter from when I started chairing this show. Hang on a minute. The Vatican is undertaking a worldwide opinion poll of Catholics' views on issues such as same-sex couples and contraception. A senior Vatican official stressed that the Pope remains loyal to the vision of the family where a man and a woman join together and procreate children. Except, of course, when he's on a papal visit where what happens on tour stays on tour. The results will be discussed at an extraordinary synod of bishops in 2014. An extraordinary synod is like an ordinary one but ends with a foam party. Meanwhile, a married Irish woman, Linda Hogan, has been tipped to become the first female cardinal. Linda Hogan is a theologian, wrestler, and was married to Crocodile Dundee. It's possible Wikipedia let me down at the last bit. 2 points to Katie. Jeremy, why are culture vultures now a native species?
Well, apparently, we always think that we're not very cultivated and that the French are far more cultivated and the Italians go to opera all the time. But actually, it's us. We are the most cultivated people in Europe or something. We're more... Yeah, we're very...
No, the Scandinavians were way ahead, but...
All right, if you ignore all the other people in Europe, the British are by far the most cultivated. But apparently we are. In surveys where you say how many cultivated things you've done in a month, we do more than the French...
But one of the big categories was visiting historical monuments.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, I don't know what qualifies as a historical monument in this country. Because, like, I mean, you could just drive through Winchester and technically you've visited a historical monument, haven't you?
I think you have to lick it.
You have to lick Winchester.
Also, they don't let you do it now.
Yeah, one of the categories was dance. Have you witnessed a dance performance? I think far too many people think that Strictly is part of that. And opera also. You say you come round where I live. Do you see much of the opera? Oh, I never miss it, mate. You got Emma Dole and you got your two Corries.
It wasn't a level playing field, because it said 83% of Greeks hadn't visited a museum in the last year. Well, that's because all their best stuff is in our museums, isn't it? Britons are more cultured than many of their European neighbours, according to a European Union survey of cultural activity. The Swedes topped the league, but who cares, because we beat the French. Woo-hey! 39% of British people have been to the theatre in the past 12 months, although that drops to 8% if you don't count panto. The British...
Is that true? Oh, no.
Oh, yes, it is. The British are ranked fourth best at going to the ballet, visiting museums and lying about what they do in their spare time. The Swedes and the Danes came first and second, with the Swedish only just beating the Danes. Oh, if I'd only finished my ballet about the decline of the pickled herring industry, we definitely would have nailed it. 2 points to Jeremy. Miles, who wants to show e-cards the red card?
Ah, well, this is probably one of my top 15 favourite bishops from the current...
Do you know, genuinely, you're probably the only person I know who would have a list.
Yeah. I think top 15, probably okay. About number 13. I don't know who yours is, but mine is the Bishop of Hartford, who's a right reverend, apparently. don't want to be a gossip, but that's what they call him. He's fronting a campaign. Presumably, he's got friends and relatives who send him those sort of e-Christmas cards, and he thinks, I don't want internet Christmas greetings. I want you to knock on my front door and give me a hug. I'm a bishop. I'm like one of the main 15 bishops, according to some people. reach out and touch me. So that's, yeah, he
just
wants
to... Just tread carefully now, yes. OK?
Really? I've got a theology degree, I'm sure.
You've both got theology degrees?
Apparently so. Have you?
What are the choices?
Yeah.
Really?
What are the choices? Well, you can do English. There's one. I think there's an engineering is another one. Yeah. Must be about six. I mean, it's quite possible that this man has been he's been lobbied by new shareholders in the Royal Mail saying, could you have a word for proper Christmas cards?
I think it's more to do with the amount of money for charity that the church makes through people buying the Christmas cards, isn't it?
Ah.
Yeah. You obviously got the more cynical theology degree.
I think there's going to be newspaper articles complaining about this, big headlines in the Hertfordshire Gazette saying, Miles Jupp bashes Bishop.
The E ones, I know it's wrong, but they sound good. If you've not ever had one... Oh, they're a little story, nothing. There's nothing, just a snow scene. Oh, hang on, the bird's moving. And it takes off, and then some classical music, and it goes through the forest and snow falls, and they're really, really pretty.
You are so easily pleased.
Would rather have an e-card than the... and she's going to kill me, but it's true, than the Christmas card that... My wife and my two children got last year from my mother. Merry Christmas to all at number 25. That's true.
We tried to do one of those personalised cards last year and we took a photo of the family and had it put on some cards, but the family we photographed sued for invasion of privacy. The Bishop of Hartford, the Right Reverend Paul Bayes, has urged people to send traditional Christmas cards rather than e-cards, group emails or Facebook messages. British charities earn £50 million from Christmas cards each year. The Bishop argues that charities need the revenue from their Christmas cards to support the people who've gone bankrupt buying stamps. A survey by card company Moo found that most people preferred receiving a written letter to an email because it was more personal and easier to dispose of when being investigated for phone hacking. Right, 2 points to Miles. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Esther Dyer, and it's from Kangaroo Care, which is an obstetric magazine for marsupials. No, it's an article called Kangaroo Care from Calderdale and Huddersfield NHS Trust. Kangaroo Care. Dressed only in a nappy, baby is held in skin-to-skin contact against mother's chest between her breasts, snug inside her clothing, often for hours. Fathers can do this too.
Ms. Brand.
This is sent in by Martin Turner. And it's a piece in the Times about sexist Freshers' Week events. Sarah Pine, the women's officer at Oxford University Student Union, said one drinking society in Oxford uses the motto, "We will deflower you," for introductory alcohol-filled events for first-year students. They're unregistered groups without any way of outsiders holding their members accountable.
Mr. Jupp.
Stephen Kenyon has sent this in. He lives in Dorchester. It's from the adverts in the local newspaper. For sale, electric guitar, an amp, a Fender Squire Affinity guitar in excellent condition and bought as present for obnoxious teenager by doting grandmother and barely used due to laziness.
Mr. Mills.
This is sent in by Joy Bryan, although I heard it and I know a lot of us heard it. It was a trailer that was aired on Radio 4's Today programme. What makes a man kill? Weekday afternoons on BBC Radio 4.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Katie have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Miles and Bob with 13. Before we leave you, here is a question from the Test Your Trivia quiz spotted in Dubai's 7 Days newspaper sent to us by Kevin Griffiths.
Name the year. Charles de Gaulle Airport opens in Paris. Turkey invades Cyprus for the second time. And ABBA win the 1974 Eurovision Song Contest.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Katie Brand, Miles Jupp and Bob Mills. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Cathy Clugston. The chair script was read by Lucy Clark, Rodri Crooks and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch and Gráinne Maguire. The producer was Sam Michel.